You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Louis J. Gomez.
What is up, real ass dudes out there? We're back. We are back. I'm back, I should say, because I had a long week out of this amazing city, and I miss you guys very much. I'm excited to be here. Real Ass Podcast. If you're watching or listening live, thank you for joining the live stream. We're trying to make this thing a live, like a live show, like a weekly fucking, we come in.
Like an event?
Yeah, like on Fridays at noon, you know that we're going to be there for you every single week. And that's kind of, you know, I don't know. If you're enjoying the show, please join us live Fridays at noon from Stand Up New York Labs, youtube.com/Stand Up New York Labs. There's just a little
button.
First
glimpse of the weekend.
Live stream. What'd you say?
First glimpse of the weekend.
You said we start off the weekend. We start off the weekend early. Here at Stand Up New York Labs above Stand Up New York Comedy Club, the club that used to work me. I'm here with
right out the gate.
two of my very good friends, Chris Scopo. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Glad you're back.
International superstar, Zach Attack, Zach Amico.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, pal?
Welcome back.
I know. What a week. And then the guest today, we got a great guest. We don't always do guests, Jared.
Oh, it's good.
So I want you to know. Honored. You should be. Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that. We don't do guests every week. We only bring in people that are special, people that we have good relationships with. I'm not experimenting with people anymore. I don't feel like wasting my time and wasting my shows, okay? I've done that enough with Chris Scopo. We only bring in fucking funny, awesome people, real ass dudes on the show, and chicks. Jared Fried.
Thank you. I understand that completely. Yeah. Because sometimes you'll bring it on and you'll be like, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, and I'll just put them on my back. Yeah. You know, you'll have a podcast. I do a podcast here as well, and sometimes early on.
Total frat move. You guys should check it out.
TFM. But if you early on, you're like, oh, I'll invite this person on. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe I'll just do all the heavy lifting. And then there's a point where you're like, why would I do that? It's so much more fun.
And then an hour later of your life is wasted. An hour and a half. And then you got to wait a whole other week and to jump back on the horse.
Yeah, and then you're all nervous and you feel like you said the wrong thing for an hour. And
me,
it's like,
no, I don't.
I get that way. I'm
well,
like, I don't know.
I have
know
complete
if
confidence. I put it all on the guests.
Well, I feel like I let down the listeners. Like, I'm like, oh, I fucked up.
No, I always do my job. I'm saying the guests might be letting down the listeners. Scopo and Zach might let down
Lewis
the listeners.
Can't take social cues.
No. Yeah.
Listen, man, we got a great show plan today. Huge show plan today. J-Train, we're going to, you, the reason you're on today's show, obviously you're a real estate student, cool guy, but I was out in LA for the past 5 days, and before that I was out in, right outside of Reno in Carson City, Nevada, at the Bunny Ranch, and I want to talk about that. We're going to probably start talking about that first, but everything that I keep on hearing in LA, every meeting that I went on in LA, it's like fucking Snapchat, you got to be on Snapchat, Snapchat's the future, we want to create content for Snapchat, we got to do all these things. And I don't get it. All I know is that I downloaded it and I posted it on Periscope, which is my new thing. And people are like, "Oh shit, dude, you're a fucking perv. You're trying to get pussy pictures."
Well, that's like the loud narrative about it. That's not true.
Yeah,
that was the beginning of it.
That was the beginning.
It
was
when it first came out. Yeah, because girls were sending titty photos, and it was great because it was leaving in 10 seconds.
You know what? It's like the word viral. You know, you hear people say that, and they're like, it's got to be viral. And you're like, you don't even know. People don't even know what the fuck that means. It's the same thing with Snapchat. Got to get Snapchat. And then people are like, oh, it's the dick pic app. That's what your married friend thinks.
Right.
Thanks.
Right.
It's not the truth, though. It's a great platform for, it's the flirtiest app.
It's way more into the family. They can see your
it's
life.
Like,
they can see what you're doing.
It's as if someone that follows you has your phone number.
Okay.
Because they can literally mess.
That's terrifying.
No, but you can unsubscribe. I'll get into the whole thing. But I think it's the best app.
I had multiple people come out this past weekend to see me at shows. The new thing that the fans do, they think it's hilarious. They sit next to me and then they do my voice to me.
Wait, as you're on stage?
No. Oh. Like, I'll be at the bar with them. I'm like, I always tweet out where I'm going. I want people to like come and hang out. And, you know, I have a lot of fun with the fans. I love going to a new city if there's fans there. I love when they come out and shoot the shit. But they sit next to me. And then I'll just be talking, and then they'll repeat things that I say in my voice.
So who else?
Do everything that I say in my voice, and I'm like, all right, dude.
Do
I
people
get it.
Impersonate you in general?
Well,
is
yeah,
that...
because on Legion of Skanks, which
he
is
has
my
the
other,
voice like this.
My other podcast. Wait, did my mic go out a little bit? My headphones are. I feel like they.
This place is falling apart.
It really is. There we go. Now it's better.
They
there
should book you more. Then
they really should. If they booked me more, they'd probably have more
the
money coming in.
Mics should be fine. Yeah.
but yeah, my headphones are just going crazy. All right, so blah, 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 blah. The fan, yeah, they'll on Legion of Skanks, they do my voice. That's like a bit on the show. Okay. They do my impression, so they make fun of my voice. Zach will do it here today at one point, I'm sure.
So this it's is them happen. Getting in on the fun.
Yeah, more or less.
But that's it. That's
it's a very easy voice to do.
The story with everybody, I'm this is my new thing that I do, is I have them pick me up from the airport.
Wait, the fan?
Yeah, I tweet out. I'm like, hey, I need a ride. Go, Mike. Instead of spending $60.
That really elevates you.
Yeah.
So he's like a wrestler in the 80s.
Yeah, I wonder why they're giving you shit. Yeah.
Dude, I interview, this is my new thing on Periscope, I interview them about why they're my fan. Every story
is,
dude, I hated you at first, but then I fell in love with you. And I'm like, what do you like about me? They're like, oh, the impression of you. I'm like, that's not liking me.
Yeah, that's liking making fun of me.
That's liking people making fun of me.
The best part about you is
they said this to my face.
The best part about you is if someone else doing your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they like the most.
They don't like Lewis the comic. They like Lewis the joke.
So look, what I want you to do is I want you to give me and the fans a tutorial on Snapchat. We're going to do that on the show. I want to talk about the Bunny Ranch because I was there this past weekend. And we had a lot more to talk about. We're doing a longer show. We've also expanded the show to 90 minutes.
They weren't getting enough.
They know that we were here. We were bleeding.
I will now say 2.5 more sentences per show with this extra half an hour.
There we go. That's one down. One and a half to go.
I tell Zach to jump in more. I tell both of these. Here's the people think I just rant on the show. Yeah. I'm like, no. I literally have pep. Like, I'm a fucking, I'm a football coach.
Oh, wait.
I have pep talks with these guys.
Show. Zach knows that there are plenty of times where we want to speak and you go like this.
Well, not you.
You raise the hand like this. Like
hand in the air.
Hand in the air is like, I have still got something to say.
Well, nothing makes you feel more like a man than having another man put their hand up in the air every time you try to speak.
Now speak.
Yeah.
Now you can go. What were you saying? I want you guys to talk more on the show. Zach is just a sniper. He's not a conversationalist.
I think that's good though. Some people listen. Know your road. You know, like if he's a sniper, stay with the snipes.
And Scopo, I mean, you're here.
I'm here,
dude.
Scopo takes a lot of swings.
He's like, hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
There you go. Right. I like that attitude. That attitude is what's getting you on podcasts.
He says one thing every week that keeps him on the show.
Yeah.
Every week.
And about 95% of the shots he does take.
Yeah. He steals one thing from Gretzky every week. One Wayne Gretzky line a week, and then
he just says inspirational phrases. One famous.
Was that a Gretzky speech?
Yeah, I think it is.
That was on my wall in high school. That's how I remembered it.
Yeah. You didn't write it there. No. I'll tell you that.
No, he held gay kids across it for their fucking money.
Yeah.
All right, Bunny Ranch. Holy
Now explain how you ended up at the Bunny Ranch.
I still get how you got there.
Okay, my buddy Ralph Sutton does a podcast with Big J called The Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. And it's a great show. Basically, they interview people who work in the sex business, rock stars, and people who are drug addicts and people have experience with drugs
as
well.
Are you and Big J like have like 90% of the podcasts that are out there? How many podcasts are you guys working on?
I'd like to think of like the Legion of Skanks crew as kind of the East Coast Death Squad.
Oh.
You know how they have their own brand? Like, we have our fucking crews of people and we have like our subdivisions. And like, dude, the diversity that comes down from the Legion of Skanks umbrella, it goes Legion of Skanks into the Real Ass Podcast and Hammer Fisting, which are, two great shows. Dave Smith's Part of the Problem, Big J's SDR show. Then we expand out into SiriusXM with The Bonfire with Jay and Soder. I have my SiriusXM show Below the Belt. We are creating our own.
It's like the Marvel universe with more herpes.
Yeah.
Herpy-filled Marvel universe.
So that's kind of like our fucking, we have like our own.
I hear it.
You really
kissed the ring with the Death Squad, man.
They're great, dude. Oh, dude, I had so many people hit up Joe Rogan. First of all, it looked obnoxious. It looked I was asking him to do it.
I gotta make fun of you.
The Soder tweet was great.
Did Rogan follow you? And you tweeted, thanks for the follow, Mr. Rogan.
Mr.
Rogan? Are you serious, Mr. Rogan?
Was it not
Thanks,
funny?
Mr. What an honor.
Oh, Mr. Rogan, I'd love to come to your show.
Mr. Rogan. Why wouldn't I call him
Joe.
I don't know him like
or
that.
Or just thanks, bud.
Well, no, of course. Obviously, I was half joking. You call him Mr. That's the funny thing
you
about
were
it.
Half though, okay. Like, oh, I wish he could just.
No, I literally got a fucking dude boner. Show. It was.
That's a cool thing when you have someone follow you like
here's
that.
Here's my problem.
I got you.
I got fucking really gay about it. I might have let out a little fucking squeal.
I told you this. Rogan, I control the YKWD thing. And if you follow somebody and they follow you back, it says this person is now following you back.
Yeah.
So it popped up in my thing. It said at Joe Rogan's now following you. So I thought for a second he was following me personally. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, Joe Rogan's following me? It's the greatest thing in the world. And I go and check it. It's the YKWD. I'm like, fuck!
I read it as like a king let you into his castle.
It was great.
Like,
it was
Mr. Rogan, thank you.
Look, it was fucking, I hate to queer
here
out like that.
Here is my wife.
But look, you know, I'm not a fan of many people. I appreciate like look, all right, I'm a fan of Bill Burr, but I'm not like a fan of Bill Burr. Like I'm not like if I see Bill Burr at a comedy club, I'm not like, oh shit, dude, there's Bill Burr.
Follows you,
this is like a hero.
Would you call him William? Mr. William Burr?
No, I wouldn't. But if Bill Burr followed me, it would be cool, but I wouldn't go it wouldn't mean much.
It's really funny though.
By the way, there's a lot of like famous people that follow me. Michael Bisping followed me a couple days ago.
Who?
He's a fighter. Michael Bisping.
It's,
anyway.
It is really funny, like when you do something kind of like with like a little bit of heart on Twitter, and then people just fucking rail on you.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Like I did. I was here. It was like when I was first getting spots at this club, and Jim.
What's that like?
Lewis can tell you what it used to be like.
That was great, dude. Back in the day, it was like all it was painted blue.
So Jim Norton showed up.
Robin
here.
Williams was popping by left and right.
It was all back in the day.
It was awesome. Geraldo, Patrice. It was fucking.
What is name dead comedian?
Who's who?
Lewis J. Gomez.
My career's dead, but
Robin Williams. All the dead ones. That's
yeah. I don't know. Who's who here at Stand Up New York?
It's all changed. Yeah. Well, Jim Norton went here, and I was like, I'd listen to him on ONA, you know, forever. Yeah. So I tweeted, like, hey, you know, so cool to meet Jim Norton, because I, you know, when he introduced himself, all his fans, like, I think he retweeted or something, and all his fans were like, so cool to meet him. Is it really cool? Like, I was like, okay, man, you can fucking dance on my
fucking
parade.
Well, that's a little queer. I mean, it's Norton. Yeah. He's in the city.
Did you call him Mr. Norton?
No, I wasn't that gay.
Kevin Jim.
Look, dude, I'm just saying, when you do what I do, which is like, you know, I'm such a big UFC fan. I'm such a big comedy fan. Like, you know, Rogan's just kind of like this, you know.
I hear you. I'm with you.
It was pretty fucking cool, man. It was pretty cool for him
to
follow me.
Did he write back? Was he like, Mr. Gomez, I appreciate.
Send me a little.
It's Lewis J. Gomez.
Send me a little DM.
Did he?
You know, I'm just saying, might be in. Swear to God.
Really?
Why would I lie about that?
What did he say?
No one can check it.
He said, please don't ever talk to me again.
Please don't make eye contact with me.
I don't want people to know that I follow. Yeah, I said it as a favor.
Signed, Brian Redband.
There it is.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. All right, yeah. So, yeah, I queered out a little bit with Rogan following me. And, yeah, that's that. Well, okay. Look, he didn't.
So it's
a
big week for you. So you go to
the
Bunny
Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch?
Okay. I get to there.
This started your week, though. Rogan follows you. Then you went to the Bunny Ranch.
No, that was all later.
So he's already hard walking into the Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch was last week. Okay. So I go to the Bunny Ranch with Ralph Sutton. We go to a show, and we get invited, and we interview a bunch of people. We interview, what's his name? The guy who owns it. Fucking Dennis Hoff.
Dennis Hoff, yeah.
Heidi Fleiss, the Hollywood madam.
She was the madam to like all the biggest celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie Sheen.
A few of the girls, like Air Force Amy.
Oh, you met Air Force Amy?
Yeah, we interviewed her. She was fucking dippy as shit.
You think?
No, the one chick who I'm like in fucking love with. She's just actually a smart,
which one is
fucking
he dating?
Cool chick. Brooke Taylor, that chick.
Which one's he dating now?
I don't know.
Because he's. Like,
I don't know. I didn't ask him anything about that. I could care less because there was fucking hundreds of hot chicks everywhere. Brooke Taylor, this chick was like, she was actually like a. I could have like hung out with this chick. She was like super cool, smart, like funny, so fucking hot. I loved her, dude. Jesus Christ, look at her.
I can't believe you guys know the names.
I remember her. Yeah.
Well, yeah, dude. This is actually the point. All right, so we go there, and. It's a fucking whorehouse, dude.
Yeah.
So you assume that it's going to be this like seedy place, and you're going to feel kind of like ashamed. Well,
that's the thing about it. It's not.
It's kind of like the legalization of marijuana. Like the, you know, the laws actually make it so it's legit.
Everything is clean.
You know, everyone's been tested, right?
Yeah, well, they have an on-premises doctor.
Yeah.
That,
they do like once every 2 weeks.
She's like $1,000 an hour. You get to fuck her in her office. It's great.
No way.
But she tests everybody, wait, too. It's great.
You can fuck the doctor?
No. Holy shit.
I thought you could for a second. That's hilarious.
You do not speak the language of comedy very well, Scopo.
Dude, I don't know. You at the Bunny Ranch. You can fuck a doctor. Who knows?
So, dude, you fucking, you go in there, and you're right. It is. It actually reminded me, you know, in Seattle, there's like legal weed, or Colorado, there's certain places you go in. It doesn't feel like a seedy, dirty thing.
Yeah, it all becomes, you know,
kind of fun.
Capitalism, man. That's what it is. You know, you got to make it right if you're going to make people spend money on it.
These girls have Twitter profiles. They use Periscope. They use social media. We were asking them, can we like take pictures? They were like, yeah, take pictures. Tag us, please. It's not like an embarrassing
thing for them.
Like, if you go on the Bunny Ranch website, bunnyranch.com, you can see all of the hookers that I fucked.
Well, that's a big thing.
I'm kidding. I did not.
But that's a big thing now, too, where they will put up a camera and just dance in front of the camera for tips.
Yeah.
That's a lot of their money can come through that, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's like all these documentaries.
We should do that on this show with Zach. We should have a Zach cam where he's just dancing, like belly dancing in the corner for tips throughout the show.
The donations. We'll see how high it gets.
Shelbo, is that possible to set that up?
That is very possible to set that
up. I like this idea. Here's what I like about what we're doing
on
this show.
People can send food to Stand Up New York for me.
I like the fact that we are being creative and thinking outside of the box. So I think we need to do something like that. That is very good.
It's a real ass move.
Real ass move. So you go in and it doesn't feel like this shady environment. It's kind of fun.
Mm.
And it's kind of like there's like a, I don't know, there's like a sexy vibe in the air. The girls don't feel like trashy hookers. You know, I mean, it's just a much...
Now, is it like going to like a, you know, a kebab place? Like, is it like going to Mamoon's and it says like the prices?
Don't they line up? Because I watched the TV show and like when someone comes in, they all just fucking line up.
Is that a high roller?
So we get there. No, they line up for everybody. They line up for tourists that they know they're not having sex with.
Oh, just people that want to see the facility.
So, people just come in.
It is crazy. Okay, it is such a sales operation.
Awesome.
It is. I'm telling you, I sold gym memberships. I sold real estate. It is sales 101. Okay, they hit a bell when a new person approaches the gate, and we took tours of four brothels.
Mm.
They don't like it being called whorehouses. They did not appreciate me calling them whore tours. Okay. As
wait, this
I did three times before somebody said, "Hey, they don't really like him being called whores."
No, this is a business.
There's four in like one place, or just one huge thing.
It's like a parking lot, like almost like with different brothels in like a parking lot. So the Bunny Ranch is one of them, but then they have multiple other ranches.
So they can bounce back and forth to different ones.
You could jump from house to house, and the girls all like live there for a few weeks at a time.
I have a question: is there different? Like what separates one house from
another? House, black
house. Like is it like that would be awesome if one was like a soul food place.
Yeah. it actually kind of, and I hate to say it because it sounds mean, but because all the girls were really sweet and they were like a lot of like there was a lot of like fun personalities.
Mm.
But it was separated almost by like the level of chicks. Like if you go, I mean, if you're a fan of this show, I don't feel bad saying it because you're my fucking fan. I should be honest with you. Just go to the Bunny Ranch. Don't waste your time at the fucking, you know, the fucking Love Shack or whatever.
So there's like a McDonald's. There's an Applebee's.
There's a McDonald's.
Yeah, but then there's like you know the Capital Grill.
Yes.
You know, that's what separates them, price.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily price. All of the girls are private contractors. All the girls set their own prices. The house takes 50% of the money.
Okay.
So it's not...
That guy's a genius.
It's great.
That guy's fucking genius. So
the house
rich.
Takes 50% of the money. The girls set their own prices. They're all private contractors. They all pay their own taxes. They all do their own shit. And basically the girl's job is to kind of like part of the job of, I mean, all of the job is who is going to be able to sell. And the girls who are making the most money aren't the hot 18-year-old girls that just got there.
No.
The girls who are making the most money,
the sellers.
They're still hot. You know what I'm saying? But they're the girls who are a little bit older. They're hot. They
know how to take care of
They're good with the clients. They can talk to
them.
They
understand how to fucking sell, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, it was like when I worked in gym sales, the people who were making the most money in the gym selling shit weren't the in-shape people. There was a fat guy that was just crushing it, making like $150K a year selling gym memberships because he understood the sales structure and he understood how to appeal to people's needs.
Well, my dad always says, like, whenever we'd see like a man with like a really ugly woman, like we go on vacation every year, my family, and there's always this like big
fat. Of course
fat
you do, you fucking
big,
rich Jew.
Big
would
fat
be Nantucket.
Woman.
Is that where you go?
Yeah, in the winter we go to Nantucket. What are you fucking talking about? So we'll go to this place and it'll be this big fat woman with this like good looking dude, and we're always like, we always see them together. My dad, every year, he's always looking at her going, she does something that no other woman will do. Yeah. She has one skill that is so good that you can't even imagine. So that's what I would imagine with these girls, like where you look at one and you're like, not the hottest, but then she's like, I know one. I have one specific set of skills.
But it's not even that. It is understanding.
She does the Liam Neeson thing today.
I will find
I have your daughter. Oh, fuck, that's making me hard. Ooh, what are you doing to her?
I will find your balls. And I will lick those balls.
No, it's not so much that, dude. It's legitimately the people who understand sales structure are the good. Okay. The one girl who did it.
So give us an example.
I want to remember her fucking name because I started following her on Twitter. I did. I started following a lot of these girls because they were cool girls. I took tours with four different girls. They hit the bell. They all line up.
So the girl gives you the tour.
Yeah.
That's important.
Check this out, dude.
Okay.
You hit the bell. They all line up. Okay. And then they all say, hi, I'm Candy. Hi, I'm Mimi. Hi, I'm whatever.
They all have porn names.
You pick the girl that you want. Now, you find out, like, a lot of people are just coming to buy a mug and take pictures and shit, and that they still give them the tour. But
<mug.
laughs> the same way a person comes into the gym and says, hey, I'm not here to buy anything, which I told every girl on the tour, I was like, hey, I'm doing media, we're interviewing people here, I'm not going to spend any money. They still treat you like a prospect, and they still recognize the opportunity. So if there was a person that came, and there's maybe a little bit out of shape, that was said, hey, dude, I'm doing a report for my college newspaper, and they want to take a tour of my gym, I would figure out through the sales process if they're a prospective client, and believe any dude with a dick, it's a prospective client going through this place.
It's like going on a first date with a girl and you make out and she's like, well, I never do this. And it's not like you're like, okay, pack it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, I'm out of here. Yeah, it means it'll never happen. No, you're like, oh, it's me. Yeah. You know, I got this penis in my mom's.
It's
going
to happen. You got to figure out a way to make it happen. Yeah, yeah.
So you pick your girl, and I feel bad when you pick your girl. I just feel bad because
many of them
13 other
you.
Girls standing there.
I would feel weird because I know that I'd pick a girl that would be like kind of off this. Like it would be like a girl that the other girls would go, what?
Well, if I wanted to pick a girl to fuck, I would definitely not pick the hottest girl because I'm assuming the hottest girl has had 14 dicks in her that day.
No, but that's your assumption.
That's my assumption. Yeah. I mean, look, not only is she going to be expensive, but I'm assuming she's been used a ton.
I just want different than I'm fucking that week. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want
saying,
different.
Yeah.
Like, I if I'm having sex currently with a girl who's like small and petite, I'm
you
going
want a big dude,
big fat dude.
Yeah,
you know that's what I'm
Zach
going.
Zach Amico type.
Yeah, I'm going anal with Zach Amico.
That
you know,
makes
like
sense.
You want the bouncer coming into the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I want that. So I'm just saying, like, I want to switch it up.
You want whatever you don't have, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Obviously. So you pick your girl. You could tell the girls who just never get picked. They're just looking down at the floor. Those are the girls that they wait for the guys to get drunk and they approach them at the bar and then they try to convince them to have a threesome with another okay chick for $600 and you're like, all right, cool.
They're on their way to saying, I used to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to, you know, I just dabbled.
It was a story.
Yeah. Time to start a blog.
Yeah, exactly.
Confessions of a former sex worker.
Yeah. Did it for a week, couldn't sell. It's a lot. That's more embarrassing.
That's got to be bad.
Former unsuccessful sex worker.
You go into prostitution. That's
somebody's
terrible,
about to do their hour at the creek in the cave.
Zach wakes up 22 minutes into the podcast. Yeah. He's alive.
Hey, nobody wants to fuck me. How does Kurt Metzger like his coffee?
Yeah.
Shots fired. Podcast wars.
It's funny because that's such a deep joke that it's very funny.
We have a lot of crossover. Okay. We have a lot of crossover.
It cuts deep.
That is...
So you pick your girl. She gives you the tour. Now, literally, step by step, the sales process. You start asking them questions, you know. Hey, you know, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. What are you into? Blah, blah, blah. Very bubbly, fun energy. All of them, for the most part, fun energy. The girls who were less experienced, you could tell, were a little more nervous. Mm. The one girl, I really want to get her name because you guys should all go visit her. I did not fuck her, I promise. But she's super, she was just going to be fucking crazy expensive. And I was just very honest with her. I was like, dude, I just don't have money. And she was just very cool and very open about everything. Like, she let me, like, kind of, like, interview her off
But those are the ones that I would assume make the most money because you want
it.
Hot girl who can watch sports.
Cool chick.
Who will talk.
Hang
you want
out.
Cool chick.
Yeah.
You want a girl that's so confident to
right
be
here.
There that you know she's going to touch your balls.
Ms. Ivy. I'll pull it up on the... on the fucking, I realize we have this option to us now, the Apple TV. This chick, Ivy May. Okay.
Not my type, but
yeah,
I get
Spanish
it.
Spanish chick, but smoking hot.
She looks like, Asian.
No, she's like Spanish or Brazilian or something. But look, dude, these chicks all, like, they put up pictures. They're very, like, open about it, dude. These are pictures of her Broncos at the Bunny Ranch.
All right. What, I want the bat mitzvah section. that doesn't exist.
See, I wouldn't be into that.
No, but here's the point.
Cool,
she wasn't the hottest chick there, right? And she, the point is she was one of the highest earners because she understood the game.
Yeah.
So, dude, they engage you, they ask you questions, then they start showing you around the sex swing and the pool and the hot tub, and they're almost, like, literally, like, they're pointing shit out in a fucking gym. You know what I'm saying? There's the cardio section, there's the kettlebells. And then they bring you into their office, their room. They close the door. If you buy a car, it's the same process. Everything is the same exact sales process. They close the door.
Do you want the satellite TV in this one?
Yeah. You start talking about money.
Checking for dings and scratches.
Yeah. What can I do to get you in this vagina right now?
It smells so new.
How can you walk out of here?
Are you sure this is used? It smells brand new.
Nope. Yeah.
Then they literally bring you through the closing process, and they go through a closing triangle, overcoming objections. Dude, it was so impressive to watch the sales structure. That's the thing that really blew my mind, you know, besides the fact that, you know, all these chicks were fucking, you know, and just very open. And
that's why I hate when these people are like, these politicians are like, oh, you know, the Bunny Ranch or marijuana, it's going to ruin the fabric of society. No. A bunch of people are going to figure out a way to make money off of this, and they're going to make it the best.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, and I hate to go all Dave Smith on the show, but you're talking about freedom, man.
So you're going
to
talk for
20
minutes?
How do you look at another person and say, you can't do what you want to do with your body? Yeah. There's no victim there. Nobody can be hurt in that scenario.
But there's victims in everything. That's the thing we want to overlook. The girl that's like, does it for a week, and it fucks up her, like, you know, she's doing the hour at the creek. That girl exists in every industry.
We were talking about Caitlin Bailey. I just want to make sure it's very. Let me spell it out for you.
I
thought we were like in general making up a girl.
I'm saying
specifically talking about somebody.
The girl that gets fucked up from this industry gets fucked up from finance, gets fucked up from, you know, from waitressing, gets fucked up from actressing. You know, that shit.
How many people die harvesting for Coca-Cola every year in South America?
There we go.
They're not going to make soda illegal, but they're making money off the taxes. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's like you have someone, they want to look at, they want to feel bad for the girl that did the sex work. But like, that girl or guy exists in every industry.
Those girls are doing sex work anyway, okay? Here's the thing, to come to a place where you're going to go and sell your body, typically, and I don't mean to generalize here, and I know the fucking feminists get all up in arms about shit like this, but I think typically if you get to a place where you're going to sell your body, and I mean like porn, stripping, you know, anything where you're doing like what I consider sex work, obviously prostitution, I think something, you turned left where you should have went right, something happened to kind of push you into that, not every time, but just as a generalization, most comedians had something that kind of made us go into this.
I agree, but I'll also say that the successful people in most industries are successful for the same reasons. So like, I went to the AVN Awards in Vegas, and I did videos from there. And when I was there, the fans that came were all fucked up. But the porn stars, I got along with.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like we would talk and be like, yeah, we're just fucking. I'd be like, hey, we're doing this video. And they'd be like, yeah, don't worry about it. Let's just do it. I'll put it on the show. And then like a fan would come over and they'd turn into a totally different person.
Well, yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, you're just going to work. You know, this is all a part of the plan, you know?
No, I agree. And I think that, you know, I think most comics are pretty normal people. But I think if you kind of look down in the past and you kind of break down the fibers of what turned us into who we are, something happened that's a little fucked up. I'm not saying everything. Look, I was talking to Dave Smith about Nick Kroll. Nick Kroll's a billionaire. I just found that out.
Yeah.
He's from a family of billionaires. That's crazy to me. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I had no idea. And
his
dad
invented something that he literally invented some product that is like very necessary to the point where they are like loaded upon loaded.
Yeah. They're fucking hugely loaded. And I go like I just don't know if I would have become a comic had I had that type of life growing up. Like, I don't know if I'd need to do it. If the option was going through this life or, you know, just living the life
I would argue that his pursuit is more pure.
I
agree. Well, that's the thing. He does it for the sake of fucking being funny.
He just wants to be funny. Yeah.
But also, the other thing that I didn't really think about is, I mean, think about what it's like to grow up a fucking billionaire.
But did he grow up a billionaire, or the dad invented it, like, you know, when he was 20?
I think they've always had
some. I think they've always had a lot of money. To have that and then also to have that type of pressure where you're like, what the fuck am I going to, like, you're never going to be you're never going to make $1 billion on your own.
So
But to do something, this shit, almost nobody can do. Being a comedian and at a high level, being really successful, that's something even his father couldn't do.
I'll tell you a quick story. I used to work at a summer camp. I went to visit the summer camp. I'm there, and there's someone else visiting, and I'm telling this other person that I'm doing comedy now. And the guy was just very, like, the guy that I knew that I was telling this to was like, you know, what are you doing? Like, just very weird about it. And he looks at his wife. He goes, what's your neighbor's name? He's a comic, right? You know, what's his name? And she goes, Nick Kroll. And I was like, oh, like, oh, you mean this really successful comic? And like, and it just showed. And to that point where it's like, to in that world where this guy was a finance guy, nothing would be successful to him.
Yeah.
You know, like he mentioned a name that to us is very successful. And in that world, he's like, oh, he's just fucking around.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so that is a tough life to come out of, because you're like, oh my god, nothing will be good enough. Yeah. You know, what can I do to outdo? And you can't.
The chick from Seinfeld's also a billionaire.
Yeah,
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
So I can't believe you referred to her as the chick from Seinfeld. Like the most amazing comedic female.
I couldn't get her name real quick, but it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Don't listen to me, Scopo. Yeah. Here's the problem with the Jews.
Yeah,
they fucking curly haired lady from that Jew show.
Yeah.
The problem with the Jews is they fucking put Seinfeld on a pedestal. I've never watched the show.
Chick from Seinfeld.
I've never watched the show, and I like the fact that you said that, Scopo.
Seinfeld. Yeah, she was the only chick in the show.
I watched 10 minutes of one episode. Overrated.
Really? What episode?
I don't know. It was okay.
Did you like Curb? You ever watch Curb?
Curb, I like Curb.
Okay.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it can be slow.
I shouldn't say Seinfeld's overrated because I haven't watched it. Everyone's like, dude, have you not watched an episode of Seinfeld? It just never tickled my fancy. Like Cheers. Like I would never watch Cheers. I would always flip through the channels and see it.
I'm not going to TV shame you. I don't like when people do that. Yeah. So I'm fine with that.
I got a question.
2015.
Can we bring it back to the Bunny Ranch?
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, can the girls, like, fucking do drugs and shit, or that's not allowed?
Drug-free? Now, look, I'm sure they
do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a huge bar there. That's where they bring everybody
to
hang out.
That's what you hang out at the bar. I mean, it's not just like, here's the thing. You imagine a whorehouse is you fucking wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You go in and you fuck a whore, right?
Yeah.
This is a place where people are hanging out. They're drinking. There's like, they have food and shit.
I just like how they set it up like in the Hunger Games, like the training area, like they put up a fake bar.
Oh, that's the funny part, dude. They actually have training for the sales, like sales training for the girls.
That's fantastic.
They have like they pull out a dry erase board. They do actual sales training. It blew my mind, the type of environment, but also it was half professionalism and half just fun. All of the seediness, there was a little bit of seediness, but it wasn't from the girls or the environment. It was from the dudes that were visiting.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. At the AVN Awards,
there was a few creepy dudes.
Yeah, they're fucking weird, but it's like Disneyland.
Yeah.
Disneyland's a fun place for your kid to go.
And then there's the weirdos that are having like gay orgies like when all the behind roller coasters that are closed down because that's fun to do.
But Disneyland,
there is like a weird subsect of gay dudes at fucking Disney World. You know that, right?
Really?
That's a real thing. I might have made that up.
But Disneyland,
take Disney.
You go on the fun ride, you still have to go through the turnstile.
Yeah.
They still have to count you.
Yeah.
You know, that's like where, you know, the Bunny Ranch, you're going to go have sex, but you still got to, you know, put down the money, put down your credit card.
Very interesting.
And then you have to pick up Lewis from the airport.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Then get interviewed by him.
I'll tell you right now, it's a good series. Driving Lewis. That's what it's called. That's my new web series. Check me out on Periscope, guys.
Driving Mr. Gomez.
Driving Mr. Gomez. Yeah. Driving Mr. Rowe. I'm not a mister. I haven't earned a mister yet. I am no Mr. Rogan. All right, Jared.
Do you want the Rogan suite? It's just a picture of Joe Rogan up on the...
I want to move on a little bit to Snapchat, because you're a Snapchat expert.
I guess I am. I was quick to it, because I think it's a great place for comedians...
Because you're a fucking frat boy douche.
I saw that a lot of college kids were using it, and I was like, oh, maybe this is the thing I can get ahead of.
Okay.
And if you're listening right now, I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat. Please connect with me. The reason I think it's gotten so popular is that it's not a follow. It's like a friending on Facebook. You both have to agree to it.
Okay.
Yeah, you got, yeah, you, because yesterday I followed Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And he has to accept you or his publicist.
His publicist, not him, but yeah. He has to accept me. It was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, but that's not like Facebook, because I'm assuming Arnold Schwarzenegger would want to accept you.
Well, Facebook has like a fan page. I'm just saying, if I met you randomly on the street.
So that's going to probably be the future, is the personal connections and then the fan connections. That's gonna
Someone
be the,
has to go.
That's going
to
be 6 months down the line, guaranteed.
Here's how it started. I was on Instagram. I follow these big boob models on Instagram. Big boob model kept being like, follow me on Snapchat. And for a minute, I was like, I'm not that creepy. Yeah. I'm follow you on Instagram, creepy. I'm not send you my dick, creepy, which is what people think Snapchat is.
Yes.
The second time she put it up, I was like, fine, I'll bite.
Just so hold on. And if you don't know what Snapchat is, for the general public, the idea that everybody gets is, you take a picture and then you set up the time, but for up to 10 seconds, they get to look at the picture and then it disappears.
Let me explain.
There's a lot of other features.
But the other features have become more important.
I know.
So here's the thing. So I go on Snapchat and I look up this big boob model.
Yeah.
You find her.
Boobs are still big.
Huge. Great. Love her tits. So
that's her username on Snapchat.
Love her tits. So you go. So you find her
love
name
her
and you add her. You wait till she adds you. So let's think of Snapchat as a left and a right, okay? On the right side, you have stories, okay? So I put up a story saying I'll be on the Rad Dude Cast, or I keep calling it the Real Ass
Podcast. Rad Dude Cast is one of our competitors. I feel like they probably should have stayed away from the whole Real Ass moniker type thing. It felt very Real Assy when they named it that.
Sorry, I won't bring it up again. So I said I'll be on this podcast. That video will stay up as my story for a whole day. So we'll go from today at 12 o'clock till tomorrow at 12 o'clock. You, as a person I'm connected with, can watch that as many times as you like.
So I'm just fucking watching your story over and over again.
So you can watch that. But
how long
can
that story be?
One day.
How long is that video that you...
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
So now
but there's a bunch of stories,
but
though.
But you can add on. So an hour from now, I could be like eating a sandwich and add to my story.
Yeah, I follow a chick who literally just shows her ass and tits all day, and it's 100 seconds of her ass and tits.
Yeah, so you have now you can put together a marathon of stories. As many times you update your stories, it just keeps adding on. Here's the important part.
Just the explanation is giving me a headache.
So here's the important part. When you add to your story,
Shelby, can you do me a favor? Can you take notes, because I'm getting a little bit confused here.
Twitter goes down the page. Okay, when you add your story, it goes refreshes to the top. So now you are there amongst someone, a follower of yours, 20 friends on Snapchat. Does that make sense?
None of this makes any
sense. None of this makes any sense.
J-Train, I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, you're losing me here.
I'm telling you.
Are turning me away from Snapchat.
No, well, don't.
I brought you here because I met with these very important executives. Yes, you can. I met with these very important executives, and they said, dude, we need Snapchat content. And I was like, all right, J-Train, you're talking about Snapchat. He's the guy. I brought you here, and now I'm going to cut my ties with these network executives.
Don't turn away from something you don't understand. Okay, there's a lot of shit you don't understand that's good for you.
Okay.
Okay. Now here, when you add to your story, it refreshes to the top of someone's page. So if I said I'm on the Real Ass podcast.
Don't fucking do it, JK.
If I say I'm here, okay?
You're not even getting the name wrong. You're naming another podcast.
Me too. I'm sorry.
It's not even like
I'm friends with those guys. So if I'm here on your podcast.
I can't wait to do your podcast, WTF. Yeah. It's going to be so cool.
So I'm on Fridays with a dumb Puerto Rican.
Yeah, if I put it up and I keep adding to the story, now it goes to the top of someone's page and they can keep watching it.
Okay.
So I have 2,000 people a day that watch my Snapchat story.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll write back to me individually. That's the left side. So someone can look at your story and be like, hey, I'm watching your podcast, and send it directly to you.
I don't like any of this, dude.
Why not?
I say Periscope.
No, but here's the thing. This is like them having your number.
I don't like it.
Don't turn away because you don't get it.
I don't like
it. Here's the best part.
It's a lot of work.
Am I crazy right now, or does this sound like a bunch of horse shit?
I literally got it like a few days ago.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out, man. It just doesn't work for me.
This is the attitude.
You know what it is?
I'm sure it's cool, but I just don't think it's for me.
You got to have a positive attitude about it.
It's a lot of work for you. I like just looking at pictures. I don't want to have to fucking do my own 100-second video.
Yeah, there's too many. Yeah. Everything.
Aren't you a comedian? This is what you signed up to do. This is creative.
Fucking, I mean, 10-second stories 40 fucking times a day, dude. I mean, holy shit.
It's some work.
That's a nightmare. I say fuck Snapchat. I'll publicly say it right now. I don't want to work with them.
No, this is the best.
I don't want to work with them. Periscope is the future.
Here's the other thing. It's also the flirtiest app.
We've been Periscoping this whole thing right now. Have you been Snapchatting it? No.
Anonymity. Okay.
How is it flirty though? Let's get that.
So I'll send out if I send out a Snapchat, if I take a picture of us hanging, being like, "Hey, we're hanging, doing the podcast." I send that out to like five chicks. They all feel like I've thought of them because I went down my list and
so
I
send
it out to them.
You send it out to individual five.
You can
chicks.
Send out. You can also send it out individually, that's, not just your story.
So you got to just go and click on the people.
So then it goes to your inbox, and in all your right. inbox, you can click on it and be like, "Oh, look at this! This person sent me." Tits.
Sending a tweet is so much easier.
I would rather just Zach punch me in the balls right now. I mean, than ever have to.
Listen, I'll be on there.
I'm going to, let me show the camera. I'm going to delete Snapchat right now.
What a mistake.
Also, no, thank you.
Fine, more tits for me.
How do you add like sayings in the fucking picture? I tried to do, like, I took a picture and I was going to fucking.
There's a T, you can click on it.
Uninstall.
This is a mistake.
I'm uninstalling. I want to. It's not. I'm uninstalling Snapchat. I'm done with it.
Big mistake. I opened for a comic, and he told me that what he does is he will meet somebody in the crowd, and then give the Snapchat name, and then they'll message over Snapchat. They'll do like a text. And the best part is, it's like having someone's number that you can unsubscribe from.
You know what it is? I'm one of these guys who I use social media. I'd like to think that I'm really good with social media, but I'm not. You said it before. You're like a ground up type guy. You want to get in there early. All the kids are using it. I want them to figure out all the bugs. You know, I didn't have Instagram until like 6 months ago.
All right,
Scopo showed me how to use Instagram.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
But that's the reason the early adopters are the ones that get. You know, the followers.
I mean, I think the bugs are out, though. The guy's worth like $15 billion.
Yeah, Snapchat, it is the
brand
number
new company.
One.
Do they need an investor? Johnny, can we invest in Snapchat? I'll invest in it. The kids are using it. I'm just not going to use it.
You'll want to use it.
We'll see.
The day I signed up for it, a dude asked to see my dick, so I felt wanted.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's the thing. And then, like, you know, girls hit me up on it, and I'm just kind of like, what's going on here? Like, I know that I'm part of this generation where people like ask for dick and pussy pictures. I don't know how to just ask somebody for it. Girls get aggressive. Girls will just throw it out there now. I don't even understand how to begin the conversation to say, hey, send me dirty pictures.
Well, here's the thing about it is you can see who watches your story. So like you can
I
see.
I need you to stop talking about Snapchat. I deleted it.
Listen, man.
We're just talking about dick and pussy pictures in life now. Okay?
Oh, dick and pussy pictures? I don't ask for it.
You just wait for a chick.
I wait for it to happen. You got to let that shit come to you.
How do you? I don't get it.
Do you get them a lot?
Yeah, of course. You're single, right?
Yeah.
Freed. You live the life, dude. Good looking dude.
I try my best.
You comedian.
Things are okay. I you know, not that
wood. Do you tear up a lot of puss?
Not really. I think it's like over. Like probably people would think I do more than I you know do.
Well, you talk about it a lot, and
I mean, I like to date.
Yeah.
You know, like I like to go out with girls. Like I don't like, I, you know, I'm not,
that
I'm,
is
I'm not
literally
getting
literally psychotic to me.
Why?
Because here's the thing, right? Here's a beautiful part about being a comedian. Here's the best benefit in the world. Okay, you get to go to girls and say, hey, unfortunately, primetime dating time, like when I'm supposed to take you to dinner and fucking hang out and have drinks.
Right when you're working.
I have to work. I'm so sorry. I can meet you fucking coffee before my show. I can meet you at 2 o'clock in the morning afterwards, which it's just guaranteed. Like if you're meeting me at 2 o'clock in the morning,
you're fucking me. Yeah.
I'm just assuming that you want to fuck.
I think I'm becoming better at that now. I understand what you're saying. Like I used to feel bad about that shit.
What?
Because like I just feel like you know, I think I'm being better at being honest with this shit.
Sexually assaulting women at 2 o'clock in the morning? Why would you feel bad about that?
I don't know why I have a heart.
Who
I don't
raised
know.
You?
I don't know. I do know. I'm very aware of how I act.
The way you described the way you thought you were going to feel at the Bunny Ranch, that's how I felt the first time you took me to the Blarney Stone.
What do you mean?
That fucking, the creepy bar by Broadway Comedy Club? That was the seedy weirdness I felt, the way you described what you thought the Bunny Ranch was going to be like.
Yeah,
I was like, this is where people go to get raped and not know.
It's a fake, the bar scene and this whole after work world, which, I mean, you literally, I could just drop you in any after work spot and you just fit right, you blend right in, dude.
I'd be just okay.
You would fucking own the place. By the end, he would walk out a 10% partner of the bar. Guaranteed.
I know that Blarney Stone place, though.
Douchebag Central.
Yes.
But these, like, you're right, dude. These places that you go and have drinks with chicks, these nice spots, the New York City, like, nightlife, you feel like a jerk off. And it's when you're in your world of being a comic at a comedy club, yeah. you bring them to your show. Here's the thing. I could bring a girl to a show and then I could bounce around and like act like I got shit to do mm-hmm. as opposed to having to stand there and entertain her the whole time. I could say, hey, watch the show a little bit. Let me get you a drink. Typically, you're not paying for drinks at a comedy club, so you don't have to spend that much money.
Yeah. It is a different date. It is a different type of interaction. And
girls aren't
like,
used to it either.
And they're not used to it.
It's not a normal date.
You're showing them.
Yeah.
You're literally lifting, you know, this world, this underground world to them that you're like, let me show you.
Well, you're doing the Goodfellas. You're walking them through the kitchen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
you're,
exactly.
You know, it's like being backstage at the Muppet Show. Like, they get excited.
I don't know how you went from Goodfellas to Muppets. I mean, that's
it works.
That's why he's the best.
Yeah. He's half Joe Pesci, half Muppet.
Yeah, apparently. No, I do agree. It is like the dating comedy world is like so different. Than like normal 9-to-5 finance guy.
And how do you
world.
Find time to do that? Because I mean, look, you're working stand up New York every night.
Yeah, every night.
I mean, I have time. I have all the time in the world. I just don't work that club. But
I just think I've become better now, where I'm doing kind of that move. Like I can see myself just becoming more, you know, comedian ish with that shit.
You got to do it. I'm assuming, because I remember I only met one of your girlfriends, a chick that used to work here.
Yeah.
Sweet girl, but she seemed like a girl you would have to fucking do that with. She wasn't going to deal with, like, you know, and by the way, that's why me and my son's mother broke up, is because she was a girl who wanted that. And
well,
I
don't you think there's a time limit on every comedian relationship maybe. In that way? Don't you think there's a
you know
moment
what we do,
where
though?
They're like...
Here's what we do with women, and this is where I can't do this anymore, and this is why I don't do this, and I am going back into the dating world now, but... You can't be fake in the beginning because we always try to put our best foot forward, you know. And what happens is,
hi, I'm Lewis. I'm not a rapist.
So fake, so crazy.
That's not what the real ass dude is all about.
Yeah,
I started off as a real ass boy, not a real ass dude. No, but you almost have to kind of like lay it down, like who you are and what your priorities are in the beginning. Because when I first started dating my son's mother, it was like, dude, I took her to like really nice dinners. I showed up with flowers. I was trying to court her because she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I really wanted to impregnate her.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of things that I probably just really wasn't me. You know, I wasn't like.
Interesting, though. It's like there's a point, though, where it's like. What do you like? They have to have some responsibility in that too.
Yeah,
you know, the other side of the relationship. The girl has to say, "Well, okay."
The proverbial, what was she wearing?
What do you mean?
That was a joke.
Oh,
it wasn't a good joke.
I went off the rails real quick.
But I'm just saying the girl has to look at that and be like, "Okay, well, this can't last forever."
Yeah.
You know, like this day, you know, this guy's got to go out and do comedy too.
Well, it's like, I think that's the exhausting part about relationships is like, how long do I have to just continually put my best foot forward? At one point, you just want to be like, oh, I want to wake up and be a piece of shit. Gee, can you please let me just fucking be the piece of shit that I want to be? And some people are naturally good people, but most comics that I know were not. And like, if you want to make a relationship work, I think it's so exhausting to... That effort that you have to put in to be a normal person and not be the narcissist that you have to be successful.
Well, the other thing is that everyone puts their job first. Like, everyone wants to be successful in whatever industry they get
into.
Most
people have shitty jobs and they can disconnect.
Well, most people's jobs happen at the same hours of the day.
Yeah.
When your job happens at the other hour of the day, and you're at the hour of the day that they want to hang out, and you are literally put in the position of choosing between job and girlfriend, and you choose job 9 out of 10 times. Whatever it is... You're doing that right in their face.
Yeah.
No one else has to make that decision. No one has to say, well, I'm going to choose, you know, finance today over meeting up with my girl. Because they're like, no, that's when you go to the job.
Because you look, the guys who are choosing finance over meeting the girlfriends become Donald Trump.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why
guys do that.
People
my brother
like,
has
oh,
done
Donald
that.
Trump
yeah, yeah.
is stupid. He's a dumb guy. I was like, ah, you don't get $10 billion. Like,
yeah, nah.
Being stupid. You actually get $10 billion by being brilliant and making a lot of smart decisions.
I'm a President Trump guy.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
Yeah, don't get...
For
don't,
the
hell, don't,
just
don't
for the pure hilarity
choir.
Of it. I love people
I'm there for his ideals. So I don't know what you're talking about.
It's so funny, though. Everyone, like, people don't follow politics. This is what happens every year during election season. Everyone thinks they're an expert. Nobody follows anything.
Nah.
So it's like, why don't we just stop, you know, being bullshit artists and go, I want to pick the funniest guy or whatever reason.
Yeah. I want the realest guy.
The one you
want to
fuck the most.
Shit.
The best thing he ever said is on that debate where he got up and he goes, I've given all these people money.
Yeah.
That was the best thing I've ever seen. Just being like, I own all these people.
Yeah. At one point, you were in my pocket.
Who's going to be the most honest?
Yeah.
You know, everyone's Hillary Clinton's like, I wanted her to come to my wedding.
Yeah.
I paid her. She came.
There it is. Done.
Fucking hilarious. All right, look, we got, this is fucking good, man. This show, right now, I'm going to tell you right now, John told me before we started, we hit number one on Stand Up New York Labs last week. We're the number one show.
Congratulations.
Highest rated, best reviews. So I just wanted to give us a little pat on the back right there. Can you do me a favor? Will you pull up for the fans? I want to show these guys this video. This is kind of crazy, dude. There was another bullying video, and bullying. I love a good bullying video.
Do you like the ones? I like where the bully wins. Like I like when the bully.
Well, usually the videos that go viral,
always like the scrawny kid that like lands one punch.
Yeah, like a kick. The fat kid that that body slammed the one bully. That was a great one. Yeah,
you know why those go big? Because there's so many other videos where that scrawny kid gets his ass beat.
Well, here's what's cool for you, okay? Because I think this video has a little bit of both worlds, okay? Because this video is a blind kid is getting bullied by a kid. And then somebody comes to his defense. You got it all set up?
What kind of animal is beating up a blind kid?
This guy right here. Look, he's punching a blind kid. Ooh. And then this other dude comes in and just lays him the fuck out.
Knock the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't know if is the audio playing for them, Shelbo? Yeah.
How does a fight like this even start?
Because
is this your website, Dude Comedy?
No, this is...
Yeah, what is this?
I love this website. Dude Comedy is the shit. So then he starts arguing with another dude. And,
Up does your kid have to be to get in a fight with a blind kid? Like, how bad of a parent?
Can I say this? I mean, what if that blind kid was a dick, though?
There used to be this comic, this guy at open mics that I fucking hated that had head trauma.
I know who you're talking about.
And he was such a dick to everybody.
He's a fucking cunt.
he literally could barely walk. He was an asshole to everybody. And he was just such a... During people's sets, he would talk during the open mic.
Well, it's like the woman mentality. It's like nobody's ever punched you in the fucking head before. Well, God did. But nobody's actually ever punched you in the head. And now you have this attitude like you're invincible.
I remember... Well, yeah. And I remember one time I got up into the open mic and I had like had enough with this guy. And I spent the whole time being like, dude, everyone fucking hates you. Shut the fuck up. And like, it just looked like... If you had just walked in there randomly...
It's a story about how you got exiled from Eastville Comedy Club.
Me yelling at a guy with head trauma. Like, what is wrong with these people?
There was a kid in high school who had like whatever the disease is, where he was all fucked up. Like he walked with like one leg, he would drag, and he was like fucked up in the mind too. I don't know, man. I don't know what he had, but it was fucking. He was really fucking out there. And for some reason, all the cool kids in my neighborhood decided to kind of like befriend him. Not for some reason, because ultimately they were just nice to this kid. They weren't even like.
Yeah.
They were still shitty kids.
They felt bad or?
I guess they felt bad, but this kid, they were like one time they were fucking encouraging him to bully this other kid, Dan Doherty, that I grew up with. So this retarded kid is just being like, you faggot.
Oh my God.
And Dan just got to take it because all these other kids are like surrounding him and he's like.
Yeah. And now it's a hate crime.
It's like, what do you do in that situation? I remember I flipped out on the other kids. I was like, yeah, you guys are fucking assholes to even like let that happen.
It's like they trained a pit bull.
Yeah, it's like, at what point is there a fucking blind kid? He's fucking, he's got a cane. He's just, Zach, he's cold. He's like, dude, I can't even see, but I can smell how fat you are. And everyone's laughing at you in the schoolyard. At what point are you just going to drill him in the fucking blind head?
Yeah.
I think I would have to walk away and let him keep talking.
What could he do, though? What could a blind kid do?
I think it's repeated, though. It's not just one time.
That's not a word.
Repetitive. It's repetitive. He has to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And then one time, like, fuck this blind fuck.
But what point do you say, fuck this, I'm going to punch this kid in the head? Is there any line that this kid could cross?
I don't think
he's just poking you in the fat with his stick.
Yeah. Smell my fingers. Yeah. Smell my fingers.
The third poke, I think I'm punching him out. There is such a thing as like being like you could still be a dick. Blind isn't like make you a good person.
Or mental illness doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah,
you
well, can be a I mean, dick as a mental. The difference between blind and
like that
mental.
Guy, I'm sorry, is I didn't want to say mental. The guy that you were talking about.
Head trauma, that's the thing. He could be a dick because like all he is is slower.
He doesn't know how to take in the world the same way we do. He doesn't operate the same way.
But mentally challenged somebody, is different because a mentally challenged like you.
From the beginning, they don't have the mental capabilities.
Exactly. So where this
you
guy
gotta
with
give
the
him a pass. Look, if you're a retard, I'll give you a pass. Okay. But if you're a blind dick or a deaf dick,
that doesn't give you.
Oh, I walked this. It was an old lady one time to try to cross the street, and I was like 20, and I was like, oh, I'll help this old lady, but she was a fucking twat.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, get away from me. Get away from me. I was like, I'm just going to help you. This car's coming. Do you want to die? And she was like, no, get away from me.
I would have left get away from me.
I did. I was like, fine. If you want to fucking die, die. That's fine by me.
I don't know. The problem is now we attack people without, like, knowing the story. So, like, that headline, blind guy gets beat up by bully.
Yeah.
We have no story to go with that. We don't know if blind guy said, you know, that everything he hears from that guy is the biggest fucking sack of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's here, you know, it doesn't give him shit all day. Like, we don't know the story. We just know that it's easy to say, fuck that bully.
I'm leaving for ISIS. Fuck you, America. Just fucking drills.
Hey,
him
I was
in the
reading
face.
The bumps on your sister's pussy last night.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man. It's yeah, dude. Look, I don't know. With a blind kid, I don't think there's anything you could do. But one of his friends came to his defense.
The blind kid?
The other kid. He was like, hey, dude, chill the fuck out. Because the kid face planted and like bashed his face open. He's bleeding on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that was a vicious punch from behind.
You know, what are you going to do? Look, you know,
Maybe he can't hit him. He can't see it coming.
Yeah, now he has his own head trauma.
What if he became not blind after that, though? The hit just fucking...
Yeah, what if he was trying to fix his eyes?
He's like, just trying to help him.
Yeah. You know, you just bang on the top of your fucking VCR?
Like Fonzie with a jukebox?
Yeah. So, all right, another video from my favorite website, dudecomedy.com. It's good. Can we get the sound up on the next one, Shelbs?
I'm not going to lie. I was reading this on the train today, and I was like, Lewis really updated his website. Good job with him.
Yeah, this right?
This is your website.
So this one, this is actually, somebody put it on Facebook.
Here, Lewis, while you're bringing that up, Shelby, did we scare away the pretty girl intern after 1 week?
I don't know what happened to her.
Is she gone?
Disappeared on us.
Really?
I didn't see a pretty girl on turn.
Yeah, her name was Jer.
Yeah, Jer. Jer,
she was cute. She was cute.
She only came on Fridays? So.
Not anymore, apparently.
Yeah, switched to Mondays.
Let's see here. All right, so this is this chick. You got the sound pulled up, Shelb?
In all fairness, she does have a little man face.
Yeah,
I'm here in Panama City Beach looking to meet some hot dudes,
but oh, my balls itch. Yeah, she's got a fake dick. Under her bikini, and she starts asking dudes to massage her.
Thank you so much.
Guy says, I think I'm in heaven right now.
We should do something crazy.
This one's gonna go poorly.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to be. Okay.
I mean, she's hot too. That's like a really hot chick.
Her face is a little.
She's got a great body. Yeah.
Her face is great too. What are you talking about? Look, she turns over and she's got a big old dick.
It's just a dick.
It's just a dick.
Come on.
Yo, this is hilarious.
Oh, my God.
What? Come on. It's a
dick. You're all sandy. How am I supposed to rub this in? You got all the sand on.
Just do it hard. I usually like it hard.
God damn it.
You couldn't have said anything.
So, yeah, there's all these dudes, and they're massaging her. She turns over. She's got a big old fucking rod. And everyone just, like, freaks out.
It's hilarious.
I love the way these dudes. It is such...
Would I be afraid of if I was the chick? Because, you know, you got some fucking dude 20 yards away filming on a handy cam. What happens if one of these dudes are, like, really homophobic and just fucking drills you in the mouth?
Yeah.
You know, because now you're not even a chick. Now you're a dude that he's drilling in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know.
The difference between white and black people here is stark.
Oh, it's so funny. He keeps going, though.
Oh, look at he's not letting go.
His palms are never gonna get tanned that way. All right, you can turn it off, that's fine. So we get it. So that my whole thing, I would just be afraid
if she got like whacked.
Yeah, dude, if that's the chick you're doing it with, what if some dude's like, what the fuck? And he just drills her in the face, and that's that. Well, and hold on, is that guy even, like, that crazy wrong? It's not, like, it is borderline sexual assault. This dude's got a fucking rock-hard boner. You're tricking a guy into massaging your body and your thighs, thinking that it's a woman. There is a gray area there where you go like, all right, at what point does that become sexual assault? Because if
you're the one who chose to touch a stranger.
You chose, but it's...
This is playing off of, like, the fear that, like, homophobes have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, the thing. She's doing more of a disservice to transsexuals than she is to anybody else.
No, I agree.
Because what their biggest thing is, they are afraid of getting the shit kicked out of them because people are like, okay, you have dick now, and I can...
But no.
They should be afraid of getting
the shit kicked out of them if they are fucking dudes and not telling them that they're transsexuals.
No transsexuals are really doing this. Like, that's a thing.
That's not true. I have a friend who fucked a tranny, and she did not tell him. Post-op, though. Yeah, it was post-op.
Dave Smith.
Oh, my God.
No, it wasn't Dave Smith. It was another one.
No, but I'm saying, like...
It was somebody else with a really boring podcast on this network.
The homophobe thing is like a real thing, because people are like, well, what if they try to fuck me? And you're like, that's never going to happen. Like,
it happened to my friend. It happened to these dudes in this video.
But I'm saying this girl is doing a disservice to that community because, like, you're just promoting that fear.
Yes.
You know, like,
I agree, but...
I think that fear is way bigger than the actual... occurrence of it.
But obviously, yes, and obviously I agree with that, and nobody's saying that transsexual and transgender people should have the shit kicked out of them. I do think that if you, and we have compared it to the scene in Revenge of the Nerds, where the main guy fucks the dude's girlfriend when he's wearing the Darth Vader mask,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's like, alright, that's kind of rape. I don't know what else to say. It's like, this is not who you think you're fucking.
No, that's not kind of rape. If you're pretending to be
the most creative rape I've ever seen. Yeah. Kudos to that guy for his creativity.
It's the funniest rape in all of all time.
I mean, it hits on all. It's funny. It's creative. Yeah. It hits on nerd culture. I mean, who doesn't love that rape scene?
Listen, that's how much we cheer for nerds. You know? We just saw that. We're like, go nerds! You know, fuck chicks without them knowing.
That, obviously, I'm not saying that I'd be the guy to do that. Honestly, she's hot enough. That chick was hot enough that I don't know that I would have still stopped massaging her.
Well, she was hot enough where that guy literally kept onto the legs. He's like, I just want to make sure this is real before I let go of you.
All of the dudes kind of go like, you know, they're like, wait, what the fuck is that? And they go, oh, no. You can't. First of all, you're not really making the guys look like assholes. You're not. I think you're right. The takeaway from that is, like, I don't know. It's kind of like, it is really making fun of transgender people more than anybody else. The victim there isn't the asshole or the butt of the joke isn't the guy that's freaked out that he's being borderline sexually assaulted by this hot tranny.
Yeah.
The butt of the joke is kind of like
sometimes girls have dicks now.
Yeah,
is that transgender people will try and trick you into touching them? That's the butt of that joke.
I think that's a transphobic video. And I think the guys in it shouldn't be looked as transphobic. And I think that's the problem, is you send this message that dudes, just in general, any guy would react that way. Dude, Zach is a bisexual. He might be thrown enough to go, whoa, hold on, what the fuck? Like, it would break you.
If that happened to me, I'd be like, whoa.
Zach was out sucking
it. No, are you kidding me? I would fucking take that lotion, big old handful.
Big double fisted.
Look around like a bad guy in a cartoon. Twirl my mustache and jerk that thing off.
I just think, like, a video like that gets, like, millions of views. And, like, we come down so hard on, like, people, like, who make, like, a bad joke on stage or, like, make a racist joke. That's just a person trying to be funny. Like, that's just a person trying to get a point across where maybe they, like, made a mistake. This is no mistake. This is an asshole.
They had an editor. They had a post-production, a lighting guy.
Like, why are...
If you have a lighting guy, you are not in the experimentation mode.
Yeah, why? Okay? Where are the feminist blogs on this one?
Not going to be there.
You know what I mean?
Because you're making guys...
It's a chick.
White dudes look stupid.
You're making white guys look bad.
Yeah.
That's why no feminist blog will get behind this.
What if it was a dude, say a dude faking he has a vagina? Would it fucking go nuts? Would everyone be like, this guy's an asshole?
Who is that? We can't pull it up on YouTube because we'll get bumped because it's nude. But what's that one?
Buck Angel.
No girl
would. And DeRosa had a beef.
Buck Angel.
Dude, have you ever seen Buck Angel?
No.
Hold on. Buck Angel's terrifying. Can you make sure
Buck Angel looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin with a vagina.
Don't pull it up on thing because we'll get bumped from YouTube.
It used to be a woman and became a man.
But kept the vagina.
I don't want it to show on the screen, though, because if it shows on the screen, I'm going to pull it up on the screen for these guys, but make sure the camera angle isn't on
the
screen.
I think the face I just made was transphobic.
Dude, there's a documentary on her on Netflix, and they show a clip of her and her wife.
No, you have to call it him.
Yeah, him. Excuse him.
Dick face. You hateful asshole.
I am.
Wait a minute. Is his penis now the clit?
He doesn't have a penis, dude. Is it a vagina?
No, it's got a huge clit. So
yeah, I think that's from the hormones. Your clit is big, i.e. the China syndrome.
I mean, oh, dude, this is fucking nauseating. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't mean to be hateful, but I mean, this is fucking nauseating.
It's weird.
Hold on. Also, like, if you put yourself out here like
this, right?
Look at this.
I can't.
If you put yourself out there like
this.
You
want to eat my pussy? Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, I can't. I want to see the before. Like, how?
Wait, who bagged?
How did DeRosa get in
the fight?
I got
a big clit. What? I got labia. What? I got a uterus. What?
Oh, fuck me, dude. Look at this, dude. Look at this. Look at that. That's fucking rough, dude.
Oh, DeRosa got into a beef. I think DeRosa tweeted something about Bailey J.
Austin 316 says
you make my pussy wet.
He talks about it, and then like he tweeted at him saying I'll beat the shit out of you or something
God.
And then DeRosa got like
that's great. So yeah, I mean, that's
I mean,
I don't mean to here's the thing, right? I don't want to fucking like Buck Angel, just like that if you're a tranny porn star, right? Just like we were making fun of that kid, Drew, whatever his name is, with the stutter.
Lola Lynch.
So, Drew Lynch, the guy from America's Got Talent with the stutter.
He stole Veter's joke.
Yeah, he stole Veter's joke.
How fucked up was that?
That's horseshit. That kid sucks.
Did you see that?
I did. So,
he didn't steal it. He did the thing that would annoy me most on a show when someone like needs your joke.
He got a laugh off of Veter's punchline.
No. Supposedly he was like he was gonna do Boobasippi, and then Gabby was like, no.
Well, we're gonna have Gabby on the show. I don't want to tell the story. Gabby's gonna tell the story.
Oh, there's a story. Okay.
Yeah. So what's it called? You know, I don't want to. You know, we made fun of that kid, and you know, Sam got weird on the show. He was like, ah, dude, I don't want to make fun of this kid. But if your whole act is you making fun of your stutter, I think you're putting yourself out there for other people to be able to do that as well. It's you talking about being a douchebag, me being bald, you being fat, you having a fat ass. It's like if somebody goes, you have a fat ass, you can't go like, oh, dude, I mean, come on, really? You're going to say I have a fat ass? You're like, that's fucking half your act.
You're making fun of the bankruptcy of other comedy. You know, like you're not making fun of his. It could be stuttering. It could be not walking. It could be, you know.
No,
anything.
We made fun of the disability.
No, but I'm saying you're making fun of the disability, but you're making fun of the fact that it's all he talks about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That is also the
disability. We made a lot of jokes, but the point is, I don't feel bad about that because he puts himself out there. And just like I don't feel bad about Buck Angel or any other transgender porn star, he looks that way because it is a marketable thing. He's a muscly tattooed dude with a spread pussy. If I can't say that looks fucking weird and there's something hateful about that, that is fucked up. I'm supposed to sit there and go, oh, yeah, completely normal. That's totally cool. That's fucking bananas, dude.
Yeah, have you been watching South Park, the new episodes?
Oh, yeah, dude. The first episode with...
They're killing it. They just had another one on this week.
I didn't see the new one yet.
They got Caitlyn Jenner on it now, and it's like...
Caitlyn Jenner's... No, the first one.
And now the second one. They keep doing it.
Oh, it's great.
Every episode is like connecting now.
Don't tell me anything else.
You gotta watch it.
Don't tell me anything else.
I'll just say, like, listen... That's what you are. I'll call you she, but I'm also going to say, you know, she...
She's a weirdo.
She's fucking fucked up. And the most fucked up is the
Something
wife.
Happened to her in her youth.
Yeah, she's fucked up. And especially the most fucked up is Chris Kardashian.
Why?
She was giving into this whole game. She knew the deal.
Yeah.
Buck Angel
could shave and just be Aaron Berg.
See, that is funny.
All right, we got a little more time here. We got a couple segments. And Shelbo, our new producer. Look, dude, this guy is the best in the game. I said, Shelbs, we need some intros for the new segments. He comes back right away. Just fire.
Intros.
We have intro segments. It's a whole thing. Don't try to use him as your producer. He's our producer. Listen. Shelby, I'm going to make sure that you're only working on our show.
Yeah, sign him to the rights.
I've been hearing you working with Kurt Metzger and Sherrod Small on their show as well. I don't like that. Shelbs, I need your creative juices and energy coming just to the Real Ass Podcast.
I got to like branch out, though.
Will you do me a favor? Will you phone it in with them?
Okay,
thank you. Shelbs, did you pull up any hate mail for me?
You mean the Reddit comments?
Reddit comments. Yeah, so you did. But I want the worst ones. I want the worst of those. You know what? Let's start off with the Real Ass Question segment, and then we'll close it out with the...
I have a question.
What?
How did you end up on Reddit? Like, why are
he's not on Reddit anymore.
But why are you even going into that world? Like,
because just like Snapchat, I was like, oh, this is what all the kids are using. Let me go check it out.
No, Reddit is what all the animals are using. That's not even like a big... That is, and like, he is their the king. Lowest... King Louis. I just think, like, why would you even talk
they
to those people?
They call him Mr. Gomez.
If they didn't have computers, they'd be writing on they'd the be wall doing, with shit.
Yeah, they'd literally be...
just pictures.
That is the nobodies of society.
Anthony is over.
That whole place is the nobodies of society. Well, like, look, they don't even have... They don't even buy shit.
There's a lot of great fans on Reddit. Okay, and they're very engaged, and they created a Legion of Skanks subreddit that has you know, a couple thousand people that subscribe to it.
Okay,
there's no other podcasts at Legion of Skanks level that got that popular on Reddit, and I think a part of it was because we had the producers engaging with the fans on Reddit. I was going on Reddit. Gotcha. And it was a good thing. The reason I quit Reddit was just because I was starting to fucking obsess over it. I'm sitting there on it every day. You know, you Google yourself and you feel like an asshole. I'm sitting there searching myself on Reddit on different boards and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Reddit was so disgusting that the CEO fucking left.
Oh, really?
She was just like, fuck these people.
Yeah.
They're disgusting animals. They're so hateful.
Here's the thing. I think it's actually a great thing for people to go and do because it connects fans. That's, I think, it's a great thing. All of our fans get to come together during the show and have a fucking chat. I shouldn't be letting, you know, everything from 12-year-old kids up to 50-year-old women that are, you know, housewives be dictating decisions I make with my career and my show.
I hear you, though, but I just know that Reddit, the people on there are so bad that they're actually trying to separate themselves from those people so they can actually make money.
Yeah.
They can't make money because of the reputation that they have. So they're trying to do TV projects that will take them away from it. Yeah. They have such it's going to go away. Like it's just going to become something else.
It'll evolve eventually. The problem is there's no accountability. So it's easy to make a profile. Here's what they should do. They should make it really difficult to make a profile. It should be a process where you have to spend 5 minutes or 4 minutes, which is an eternity in like the internet world.
Yeah. Or like a Facebook, you're saying?
Yeah, like Facebook or Twitter, you have to make a profile. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be anonymous. It should be anonymous. But right now, you can literally create a Reddit profile you don't even have to sign up with an email address. You just give them a name and a thing, and you have another Reddit profile. So people have 20 profiles.
Yeah, that's why they can be so hateful.
And then it doesn't matter. Like the upvote and downvote system doesn't really mean enough to people to like for them not to troll and be assholes. So the idea is that it checks because if people don't like what you're saying, they could downvote what you say. But nobody really gives a fuck about that. I don't know why they would.
I think of Reddit like an ugly chick. I just don't even like pay attention to it.
Well, now I don't. Now I don't even go onto it. I won't look at the comments. I won't look at anything. And the people that want to reach out to me, tweet me, Louis J. Gomez, you know, tweet at the shows we do, follow us. And, you know, if you don't like something I do, tweet at me. Say, hey, go fuck yourself. I don't care. Because look, at least you had to fucking build a Twitter profile. You had to actually put information in it. It took you more than 10
seconds.
You have to
have a pass. Yeah. You literally have a pass with your past tweets. You can look at something to come back at
them. If you want to fucking create 5 Twitter profiles, you have to go create 5 email addresses, 5 profiles. You have to do all this other shit. I mean, it's a much more involved process, and I think that's why you get a lot of, like, it's just a lot of, like, useless shit on Reddit.
I hear it, man.
So, all right, look, let's do the Real Ask Question segment first. Let's go. Here it is, Real Ask Questions. I'm going to pick the top 5 questions every week that the fans ask us. And you guys could all chime in. It's not just for me. Some of them might be specifically to me. But
I think Shelby's got intro music.
All right, Shelbo, I got some questions here for these people. First one, what method will you use to kill Joe List and Mark Norman after hearing their review of your best man speech on Tuesdays with Stories?
I didn't hear the best man speech. How was it?
I thought it went okay.
You were Veter's best man?
I was Veter's best man, yeah.
I
didn't even know that you guys were...
That is the exact response everyone has when they hear that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that you guys were close.
Very different people. Veter's a very private person. And the speech...
How did you guys get to know each other?
Just through comedy.
Yeah.
You know, me and Veter, we've just... You know, we're both hustlers.
Yeah.
You know, Veter's like a guy who... you know, I said this on the show, but he's a guy who, you know, he was giving out free passes to his comedy show 2 months ago before he got onto the show.
Yeah.
You know, he's like really hustling. I have the same type of hustle in me. So, yeah, we became really close, and, you know, I got asked to be his best man. And I did this fucking speech.
How did you think it went?
I thought it went okay. I was nervous. I gave a review myself. I said, look, the things that we thought were going to, like, hit, Zach did punch up on it for me.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
The things we thought were going to hit.
Nothing.
I'm going to tell you right now, as a guy who goes to a lot of weddings, and I've seen speeches go, I had one buddy that gave a best man speech that went so badly. And it's the best when you watch your friend have a bad best man speech, because our whole table was holding hands laughing so fucking hard.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they described.
Yeah, it was the best moment of my life, the worst moment of his.
Before I even get into how I felt, pull up a clip real quick.
Oh, there's a clip.
I'm just saying,
are jokes in that room that there are... Grandma is in that room.
You're a tough room. Because, like, you got 30 comics.
I got comics.
Who, you say one thing bad, they're going to fucking attack you.
No, but you can't impress the comics in that room. You have to impress the grandma.
I should
have
made it shorter. I talked a little bit too much about comedy, you know. But, all right, play the clip.
It was like out of an 80s movie. Oh, you know, the whole gang's there. We're all headlocking. And then Luis Gomez, our friend, is the best man.
Uh-oh.
He gives the best man speech.
Careful. Whatever you say is getting right back to him, so you know.
Right,
well, he already knows.
Immediately. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was like out of an 80s movie. You know, the whole gang's there. We're all headlocking. And then Luis Gomez, our friend, is the best man.
Uh-oh.
He gives the best man speech.
Careful. Whatever you say is getting right back to him, so you know.
Well, he already knows. I told him front and center.
Well, here we go.
Boy, this best man speech. Shit on a platter. Holy hell, was it bad. I mean, this guy ate a plate of balls out there.
Well, he did some suspicious things.
Do tell.
One was he said Jesus Christ 3 times in the opening minute, which to some of our fans aren't offended by Jesus Christ. You could stick your dick in Jesus Christ's ass and videotape it from the shower.
Please.
But some people...
Get on it, Bill.
That's called blasphemy, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a religious ceremony.
It is. And also...
Is it a Jewish wedding?
It was a...
is it religious?
A religious wedding. No, it wasn't.
Is she Jewish?
She's Catholic.
She's Catholic?
Yeah,
so it was a Catholic
not a religious wedding.
How did you premise the Jesus Christ, though?
Yeah, give us an example of how that went.
In the way that I spoke. I was actually talking... They say this. I was talking about her brother. I was like, Jesus Christ, that guy's good-looking. That's funny. You made it a little funny. He was a good-looking guy.
I don't think there's... The Jesus Christ, to me, is overblown
at that
point.
You know, the problem is, though, we're cool with it. But if you're in a room full of fucking old people...
anybody had a problem with it.
Here's the issue. If you said Jesus Christ 3 different times, that just shows that you're nervous. That's the problem.
I was nervous. Yes, I was nervous. Okay. But I continue. Keep on playing the clip. Keep on playing. We'll give them a little plug on their show.
He commented on how hot the bride's brother is. He's like, Jesus Christ, that's the sexiest guy I ever seen. Jesus Christ, he's hot.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, he's hotter than my sister's cunt.
Right.
He said sister's cunt. That was me.
I did not say that.
Then he talked about the industry.
The comedy industry.
He didn't specify. He said this industry as though he's speaking to a bunch of people that are in...
Hold
show
on,
business.
Right. Listen to me.
Is this a WWE promo?
This was
this business.
Vince McMahon getting
there
up there.
There was a lot of fucking comics
Todd Pentengale.
There. And the point that I made on the fucking in the speech was that it's a lonely industry, and it's good to fucking find a chick that you could share this with, and you don't. And what I was saying was
that's a good point.
He had 2 friends there that weren't comics, like from like high school, and I was like, yeah, this is an industry where you grow away from your friends because they don't understand this life. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to make these nice points, and it just didn't come across the way that I wanted it to because I was a little bit nervous. But the point that I'm making is these motherfuckers are not busting my balls about it. They're shitting on me behind my back about it.
I agree with every point you made right now.
Right.
Sounds heartfelt and great.
It is all heartfelt and great.
I know, but I could see how in a best man speech, it could sound a little jumbled.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it went?
How long was the speech?
Like 3 minutes. It wasn't crazy long. It was a good, look, I thought it was actually
a pretty good
speech. I tell you right now, I've heard way worse. Yes, I got some laughs. I heard way worse best man speeches in my life.
My buddy opened up his best man speech by going, Chris, thank you for having me as your best man. I hope I can be your best man at your next wedding.
That's hilarious.
And there were audible scoffs. People were horrified.
See, the other thing is, like, we're comics, so it's like, I think you can go funny. I didn't do anything like that. The only jokes I made were, like, pretty, like, clean jokes. But, yeah, these motherfuckers shit on me. So it's like, what method will you use to kill Joe List and Mark Norman? You know what method I'm going to use? Ernie Balabanis? I'm going to kill them with kindness. Because I know what bothers Joe List. Joe List sent me a long, because I just tweeted to them, you're both dead to me. So Joe List sent me a long diatribe. Here, I'll share
Joe
List.
He's probably nervous that you hate him.
I'll share Joe List's heartfelt moments.
He's thinking you're mad at me?
Lou, while you bring it up, I went to a wedding like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the maid of honor speech, maid of honor comes, goes, we're all close friends. The maid of honor comes up. So she's like, hey, I was going to say in the speech how about when I met the bride, she was on acid.
Oh my God.
Should I mention that with her family here? And we all thought, no. And I went, yeah, you got it. Yeah. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And she did it, and we all went,
what white trash weddings are you going to? And then acid is even, like, brought up.
It was amazing.
The pizza boxes.
It was the maid of honor mentioned that and then fucked the bride's little brother in the hotel room next to his parents. It was the greatest wedding.
It's a real wedding right there.
It was so much fun.
A real ass chicken.
It was so much fun.
Put out some pizza boxes and 2 liter Cokes and everyone's good.
Oh, it was wonderful.
So look, I won't even read, because I'm too nice of a guy. I really should be a fucking dick and just read Joe List's faggy text message to me, which is a fucking diatribe.
Well, he probably felt bad.
He did feel bad, but that's how you kill Joe List. It's like, he writes me this long thing being like, dude, I feel so bad. Like, we shouldn't have talked shit about you. I actually thought it was a good blah, blah, blah. So I just wrote him back, all good, man.
And it's the only thing I wrote. It's the worst. Yeah, you own it right now.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Joe. And then Mark Normand, he wrote me one being like, hey, dude, I just listened back to that. We shouldn't have said that. And then I just didn't write him anything back.
That's the way to go. That,
like, Mark is a sociopath with no fucking soul or personality. So if I would have been all good, Ben, he'd be like, it's all good. Well, I said it's all good.
Now he's going to see you at the club and you're like, oh, fuck.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, guys, do you really think that I'm just beating people up? I love how the rumor about me is that I'm going to go beat up my friends.
No.
My former friends. for talking shit. Yeah, I do think it's fucking shitty for them to not do it to my face and not fucking bust my balls
so
on
after
my...
So this is my question, because on whether they're, like, okay with making fun of it. Like, when my buddy got off from doing his bad best man speech, we were like, dude, that was... Like, we gave him shit the rest of the night. Did people give you shit?
A little bit, but not really. I think here's a problem. Joe List always says he's, like, scared of me. I think Joe's legitimately scared of me. I've never physically threatened anybody in front of anybody. I've never, like, I'm just not a dude who, like, gets into fights, but for some reason, because I think I have this gruff personality and I like MMA, people assume that I'm just ready to fist fight people.
Yeah,
you
it's
are.
Just not the case. No, I'm not. I'm really
I've
not.
I've been with you a few times where you just,
no, I'm not.
I think you threw a bottle at a dude when we were driving in the car.
Yeah, maybe.
I watched you once here. There was, like, a gay dude in the crowd that was, like, being horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, he got kicked out. And then I remember you getting, like, needing to be held back from fighting this gay guy. And
maybe.
And then you were like, you're like, it would be a hate crime. Like, you just kept yelling.
Did you almost want to fight people outside of LOL one time because they were getting into a fight with two people?
I guess let's stop bringing up examples.
It's all examples of me fighting people that can't fight back. Like a tiny gay guy, a guy walking down the street, I peg him with a bottle.
A guy trying to drive the cab you're in. He called me 2 weeks ago. This is, hey, I'm trying to. And then in the middle of his opening sentence, and he called me.
Yeah.
Is, all right, shut up or I'm going to crack your fucking jaw right now. Hold on, I'm in a cab right now. I'm going to fight this motherfucker.
That's been, I can't understand why Joe would be nervous.
I've had like 20 conversations with Lewis where he says that to me, and I'm like, are you yelling at me? Somebody else, don't worry about it.
All right, next question.
Name one example where I've ever been threatened a person.
We just had seven.
Next question.
A matter of a minute and a half.
Jared Fried barely works with me.
I've seen him twice.
It's the third time you guys met each other.
This is crazy.
Jay Healy wants to know, how do you like them guys we fucked on Opie and Jim? When are you going to be on there?
They went on Opie and Jim.
Yeah, they went on Opie and Jim.
How did that go?
I don't know. I think all of our fans started fucking attacking them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah,
that's hilarious.
I think it's silly. I don't know. I don't understand. Here's the thing. I think Opie won't have me on a show because I'm friends with Anthony, and it's just that. And I think the
Jim
reason
has been on their show.
Yeah, Jim's been on their show. Jim's been on Legion of Skanks as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume that's why they've never asked me to be on the show. They've had everybody in the world on their fucking show except for me. I'm a dude who's known as I work at SiriusXM. I have 15 fucking podcasts. I'm very on brand with what they do.
At this point, they're avoiding you.
I don't know. I don't even care.
I feel like you're the only one of Bobby's discoveries, for lack of a better word, that they haven't embraced.
Agree. So it's like...
That could be an issue because you're so close with Kiyomiya.
I think it's because I'm close with Kiyomiya. But either way, it doesn't even matter. Like, I'm not like, I go on enough shows. It's not like I'm dying to go on the show. I don't care.
Yeah.
It was a little weird that they had these fucking chicks on the show, though.
You do care to see them on.
It does bug me. It did bug me. It bugged me more than it should have.
I hear that.
You know, and I did take it very personally, and I don't think I should have because it has nothing to do with me. But we had a very public fucking thing with these chicks, you know, and it was very known. Mm-hmm. They blocked Sam Roberts on Twitter, who was their former producer. You know,
Blocked Sam Roberts?
I just feel like if there was a line drawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Wait, why do they fucking block them?
Because they think Sam set them up with us, like set them up in that whole situation.
What?
So listen, if there was a line drawn, God. I would assume that Opie and Jim would just be on this side of the line. There's like funny, like, you know what it is? Like we're in this for fucking the purity of fucking comedy. It's like the spirit of Patrice and Jim Norton and Bob Kelly and Rich Voss. I mean, Legion of Skanks, we live in that world and in that spirit, and we wouldn't exist without old school O&A.
Yeah, but you can't.
These bitches wouldn't exist without some fucking bitch burning her bra on a campus somewhere. That's not what they do. So I don't understand how they're kind of given the opportunity, but guys like me and Dave Smith who are like, you know, I mean, believe me, you know, I think people like, they're like, oh, well, Lewis takes shots at Opie. I've never taken a shot at Opie ever. You know, I think when there's been like ball busting happening in the room and people talk shit, like I've laughed at shit. I don't fucking know Opie. I love Jim. I'm a fan of Jim Norton, you know, but for them to have them on, I just went like, holy shit. I was like, these bitches have fucking fake downloaded their way onto Opie and Jim. And it's fucking crazy to me.
I hear what you're saying.
Number one on iTunes. Number one on iTunes. Look, I can't even be silent. It's fucking crazy to be number one. Listen, look at their iTunes reviews. I'll show you right now. Here's the way it works. Okay, fuck faces.
How do you think they're number one?
I think that they're paying people to click through on their shit.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, you think that?
They got 150 iTunes reviews. What the fucking Joe Rogan have thousands of iTunes reviews.
No, but
they have hundreds of thousands of followers.
The number one thing is kind of a fake thing anyways because it goes up and down by the minute.
It's an algorithm.
Like you can see it at 12:59.
It's almost like something you could hire a PR firm to figure out.
Yes.
They've been number one for like a straight week.
Yeah, they've been number one for a straight
week. This isn't like, they're up there now.
I just think having a cause is always better than being, if funny's your cause, it's never going to be as good as like feminism being your cause.
You mean in terms of people clicking on it and
being
their numbers aren't so ridiculous. Their numbers aren't insane. I mean, they're good, but they're getting like 60,000 listens an episode. Like, Race Wars is getting 35 to 40, and it's not close to number one.
Wait, 60,000 is number one?
That's what I don't understand.
That's impossible.
But that's the point. Joe Rogan gets 1 million.
Dude, what the fuck? It's so many. Yeah, he's up there. He's huge.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense. But the algorithm has to do with a bunch of shit.
I know.
If they're number one on iTunes, they should not be having a day job. Because there's no way you should be able to make money from that.
That's not true either.
Ari Shaffir doesn't.
Listen, you don't know what you're talking about.
If they have ads, dude.
Let me finish. You don't know what you're talking about. It is nothing. 60,000 downloads an episode isn't enough to make money.
Can I say one thing? Because we started that show in this studio, and they said when they started that thing that they would never put ads on it. It's not about making money. It's all about changing the world. That's what they fucking said. So if they make any money on that thing, they're sellouts.
Why are we even wasting time on this?
Because
people.
It was one of the questions, and I want to fucking answer it.
I had a question for you, though. How does Ari make a good amount of money? And
I'm not pulling the fucking curtain aside on the industry. Ari has more downloads than that. That's how he makes money.
Okay.
The money, like I said, I happen to 60,000 downloads an episode is not enough to go out and get advertisers and make a lot of money. That's just the way it works. Okay. So either way, that's how I felt about them being on Opie and Jim. And I probably won't be on there. I don't know. They haven't asked me to. I do the show, but they haven't asked me to be on there.
I'm just hoping
Bam Margera gets a show.
Zach will never be on there.
Let me help you feel better. Let me just see. I understand why you felt that way.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no reason. Their gain is not your loss. We don't
100%. Well,
don't operate in a vacuum.
When you do this whole podcast war thing, I really wanted those bitches to fucking fire back, and they didn't. I want to go against Corinne at the Roastmasters, but I have no way to contact her and tell her that because she blocked me from everything.
I mean, you can't see her at like a
She looks down at her feet every time she sees me at comedy clubs.
Oh, come on. Just kiss and make up.
Real quick, one more question. One or two more questions. Chelsea Sydney says, I just recently started listening to YKWD. Here's my question. Does Scopo have multiple personality disorder? He seems like two totally different people on both shows.
Scopo doesn't have one personality.
Yeah. Let me get one and I'll fucking tell you if I have multiple. How about that? Sydney.
That's hilarious.
Jesus Christ. Let's see. Anything else?
My jobs are different.
Why see? Are you funny
that's
on that
second
show?
One. Second one on this one. See?
All right. Last one. Last one I'll answer. Will your baby mama ever be a guest on your show?
She was.
I know. Is there any shred of a chance that you'll be getting back together again? And if you're single and looking to mingle, can we please hear some stories? Blah, blah, blah. She was a guest on my show a while ago. Look it up. It's just whatever the name of the show was. And then it says Beatrice.
That's actually a good podcast.
Yeah, it was a really good podcast. Yeah. Just interviewed her. Just talked shit out at her family's house. Right outside of Ferguson, Missouri. And then look, I don't think we're ever gonna get back together again. Thanks for asking, thanks for caring. And as soon as I start getting some awesome being single stories, I will share them on the show. All right, last segment. Shelbo, you're reading the hate mail, bud, so I feel like I want to utilize you as much as possible. So this will be the segment we close out on. Hate mail for Lewis. We're gonna do a Lewis one today. We have plenty for you guys too, except for Zach. Zach hasn't gotten any yet. But if you guys don't like Zach, please, you know, go on to Reddit, Twitter.
Zach's
let us
like
know.
The people's champ of this thing.
Yeah, give me an email. Let me know what you don't like about him, because we'd be happy to do a hate mail for Zach segment.
Can people write in letters too if they hate mail letters?
Yeah, send them New York.
Okay, yeah, Stand Up New York Labs, 236 West 78th Street.
If you get a fucking letter,
that guy's 10024. Please send your hate mail here. Thanks.
I would be more scared of getting a letter from somebody than a fucking email.
Totally agree.
It's just magazine clippings.
Yeah.
Sweet. Somebody sent me protein powder.
All right, here it is, guys. Hate mail for Lewis.
This makes it sound so much more official when you hear the volume go up.
You've got mail.
Why do you hate Luis J. Gomez? Tell me why do you hate
him? That's a great word to use when describing him. He's very childish in the way he lives his life. Also, his views towards women are archaic. We didn't agree with their horrible viewpoints on women and sex in society.
Saying he's not a great father?
I mean, if I was going to flip a coin, I would say yes.
I let my haters be my motivators.
No lie, I want that as my ringtone.
Okay.
That is hilarious.
You are obsessed with them.
It's on.
You are obsessed with them, right?
That was Shelby. That was all him. But I like it. I like the fact that he used it.
That's actually a good beat to it. Yeah. I liked it.
Shelbo, what are the people in the Reddit sphere saying about me? I haven't been on in a week.
One is his comedy is flat out awful, and he pretty much ruins every show and or podcast he goes on with his nonstop fucking chatter. Can he please stop with all the self-promotion and bullshit? Goddamn fucking still living in the 90s wigga.
I'm sorry for writing that.
This guy's pissed.
That was his name? Living in the 90s wigga?
His name was Opie's mobile guy.
Oh, okay. That was Opie. It was Opie's people.
He was referring to you, the living in the 90s wigga.
Oh, I'm the living in the 90s wigga. Well, I'm not white. I'm not white.
Spigga?
I'm Puerto Rican, okay, you fucking faggot. Okay, well, fuck you then. Then don't listen to what I do. People are like, oh, I hate.
I just like how this segment is, fuck you, Lewis, and then you just go, well, fuck you. That's the only response. That's the whole segment.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next week.
No, that's fucking, good. No. People are like, oh, yeah, I hate Lewis on Legion of Skanks. Oh, do you? You fucking moron. It's one third my show. If you hate me on Legion of Skanks, you hate Legion of Skanks.
I agree with that.
Dude, I love The Simpsons. I just hate Homer.
I don't get people like who say, like,
you're the Homer of
Legion
of
Skanks. No, you're definitely the Bard of Legion of Skanks.
People will say shit about shows, like, why are you listening? If you don't like it, don't listen.
Yeah,
what's the deal? Yeah.
They want the response. You're giving them a platform right now.
Yeah. Well, and no, that's
just
what,
by responding, you are giving them credibility.
But that's what a real ass dude does, is he embraces the hate. People think I left Reddit because of the hate. No, I love the hate. I think it's hilarious. I read the hate over and over again. I'm reading it on the show. I'm doing it too much. It's fucking, I can't Google myself constantly. All right, Shelby, give me another one.
You have a Google alert.
Give me something else. Can you give me something a little less mean, Shelby, maybe? Because that was very hurtful, that one.
How about, the real ass dude has been in a real bad mood. It has been noticeable as he has been more cunty than funny recently. I think Lewis not moving to L.A. a year or two ago was a great move, as I feel he is the driving force behind Legion of Skanks, thus saving it. Now that the show has more exposure, there might be some resentment, as everyone seems to have some focus on other projects. Multiply Kurt and Nate recently. Add the rise of Zach D'Amico as a podcasting natural.
D'Amico?
It's another guy that I'm working with.
This guy has studied the whole... This is your Marvel Universe you're talking about.
And divided with his breakup with B. Yeah. Lewis seems out of sorts and not capable of fulfilling his role of the good-natured punching bag that sometimes haymakers back.
Sometimes...
This guy is so sad
to me. I think this guy, like, he's really, like, loves you.
Yeah, for him to have that much knowledge about the universe that you spoke about earlier.
He knows your personal information about life.
That means he's brought this up to people who don't know about the universe, and they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, yeah, I listen to this podcast. Yeah.
He knows B by first name.
The fans are very engaged. On their lives.
We're like the HP Avengers.
All right, give me some more. Give me some more, Shelbo.
Always loved Lewis, but the last few months, he's been a grumpy faggot most of the time.
Oh, my God.
So long, funny man.
Well, hold on. This is a theme.
I lost a fan. Wait a minute. I lost a fan?
It looks like it.
I lost a fan?
It looks like it. Twitter follower.
Those are two people that said you've gotten grumpy the last few months. What's going on,
bro? You want to talk?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did break up with my chick. I'm fucking, you know, I'm working a lot more. We have a lot more going on. We doubled up the amount of Legion of Skanks episodes. Mm. And Nate and Kurt were fucking cunts, and I had to put them in their place.
Nate who?
Bargatze.
Okay, what did they do?
In their places, which are much more successful than the places Lewis is in. I had to put them in their much more successful, lucrative places.
Shelby, anything else? We got any more?
Shove that Emmy you rightfully deserve right up your ass, Kurt.
Lewis has been moody and unlistenable on multiple platforms for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He needs to get rid of the bug that crawled up his ass in early September and figure out how to be funny again. And one more. That's
why I don't go to Reddit anymore, guys. I'll admit it. It's the hurtful comments.
Figure out how to be funny again. This is like a rom-com.
Yeah. I think we should all go out for like a meal after this. We'll talk. We'll figure out Lewis's
problems.
Why do
you think you've been grumpy?
Have I not been better in the past couple weeks? Dave Smith is in the room. Dave, have I not been less grumpy on the show?
I don't know.
I feel like... That's true. We haven't done a show together in a couple weeks. It's fine.
So Dave responded, I don't know. So that's not a glowing endorsement.
I might have been grumpy. That's okay.
But
here's the thing. Here's the problem. People, they want to be in our lives every week, right? They want us to fucking do these shows. Mm-hmm. These shows are a representation and a reflection of our personalities. So sometimes we're grumpy. You're
moving week to week with I understand that.
Look, the fact is, if you're a fan of the show, you're like, holy shit, for 2 weeks, Lewis was in a bitchy mood. But you can't look at the 300 other episodes of fucking hours and hours and hours of podcasts that I've done.
Do you feel like things are getting better now?
I feel like a lot better. LA was good for me. I really felt the trip to LA was good.
Like, so a lot of shit you carry into your personal life carries over onto shit. And then, like, sometimes you just walk in bad moods. Think about the last time you were fucking helping.
Especially podcasts.
Whatever these people do for a living. Think about the last time you were at work. You're a teacher and you're in a fucking bad mood. And some kids are just being cunts one day. Yeah, they do. I had two teachers show up in Cali.
Really?
And one of the guys that wouldn't stop doing the impression in my ear of me was a teacher.
That's just his,
I'm a teacher, dude.
That's
like,
how he quiets his kids down. He just does Lewis's voice.
All right, last hate mail comment, and we're going to get out of here.
That's some real ass teenage girl dramatics. Shelby probably has a bigger dick than you. I mean, that's like a weird thing to write at
Shelby
the end.
Shelby probably has a bigger dick than me. That is literally impossible.
I could see Shelby having a huge dick, by the way.
No, impossible.
I could see it.
That's Shelby. What happened to Jerry. He fucked her, and now she can't come in anymore.
Shelby, I could imagine having a very thin, short dick. Shelby, how big is your dick, real quick? Just because the fans want to know.
It's nothing to write home about, but it gets the job done.
There you go.
He actually uses it as a pen. It gets that job done.
Were you envious of Stone Cold Steve Austin's dick?
It's clit dick.
It's click.
All right, let's get out of here. Jared, what do you got coming up? What do you have to promote?
I just got to follow me on Twitter, JTrain56. I'm also the TFM podcast. Every Tuesday, Stand Up New York Labs Network. We take emails from frat guys and sorority girls, and we give them advice. Lewis has been on. We've had
great
a good
show.
Time.
Twice. Unbelievable
twice.
Show.
Twice. Great show. We give advice, and it's a lot of fun. Cool.
Zachy.
Follow me on Twitter at Zach is not funny, and I'm open up for Lewis. He'll talk about it.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Scopo, and we'll be October 24th.
That's the gig. Yeah. Me, Zach, and Chris, and Omar
together.
From Legion of Skanks. Going to be up in Poughkeepsie October 24th. You guys can get your tickets. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter. Also, October 9th and 10th, I will be in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island, headlining Comedy Connection. So please get your tickets to that. And let the fans know that you're there, or let the people know you're there for Legion of Skanks, because we got a lot of people coming out with shirts. Show me the fucking skank hands. I love that. We're going to get to you next week. Louis J. Gomez on Twitter, Facebook, all that shit. All right, I'm out of here. Peace.
That's all, folks.